What do all these knobs and switches do?
That and more up next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
All right, Brian, when we get a new house, we often don't do what we do when we get a new car or a new iPod or a new TV. What do when we get those things?
We read the instruction manual from front to back and learn exactly what every single feature and function is.
Right. Yeah. Some of us do. I often will look at it if something doesn't work, but a lot of times we throw it aside. But still, I think more people read the instruction manual for their electronics than they do when they buy a house. And when you get a house, the house comes, not unlike your DVR, VCR, you know, your new electric amp,
whatever it is.
Your house comes with a lot of controls and knobs, right?
Right. Valves. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Exactly. And so we're going to talk in this podcast, and we've been sitting here chatting about it, but there are a lot of controls and knobs, and we often will probably miss something. And if you're a listener, you can let us know what we missed. But we're going to review all the controls and knobs, and hopefully this will be a good show, not only for the handy guy, but for the non-handy person to listen and hopefully, you know, understand how to operate the house.
That's right. You know, there's sometimes you see a valve or a knob or something, you go, what the heck is that for?
And switch.
I even see people with light switches. They're like, I got a light switch on the wall over there. I have no idea what it does. I flip the switch on and off and nothing happens.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that. First, let's give out our contact information. You can email us at handyguyspodcast.com.
That's right. Or call us at area code 615-676-0877. Or just use the contact form on our website.
All right, Brian, I want to know what all these switches, knobs, controls, I got them all over my house, and why don't we just start, we'll start from the upstairs, and we'll use my house as an example.
Okay, second what do you have
floor.
Upstairs?
Okay, we're going to look at the second floor. It's where in my house all of our bedrooms are, and other than the obvious, the light switches, we have some controls up there that can be helpful
really?
For the new homeowner, and that is you have valves. You have valves under each sink, and you have valves for each toilet.
Or at least you should,
yes.
Ideally.
If it's a newer house, you would.
That's right. Sometimes you don't have those. But you want to make sure, you take a look that you know if you have shut-off valves under the sink.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to check that out before you have a problem, because those valves will be important if you have a leak or if you have a runny toilet that overflows or something like that.
Right. I had a valve go bad on a tub one time. Like you went to turn the tub off and it wouldn't turn off. Fortunately, it was the cold water and not the hot water. No one was getting scalded, but you turn the knob and water just kept on flowing. And you know what? I didn't have a shutoff valve that was easily accessible, and I had to shut off the main water in the house. How many people know where that is and can get to it right away?
And we'll talk about that when we get to the basement, but that's one of the most important valves you're going to need to learn about. But here's the deal, Brian. It's not only about finding where those valves are, but you need to make sure they work and that you can turn them. I knew where they were, and I knew that they worked. But the problem was I wasn't home when there was an overflow. My wife knew where it was, but she could not turn it. It was so hard to turn.
You know, there's some new valves now. You know, typically the builder is going to put in, or even, you know, the less expensive ones you buy at the home center are plastic, and you've got to turn that knob. And remember, it's righty-tighty, lefty-loosey, right, Paul?
Sure.
And, you got to turn that right or clockwise, you know, 5, 6, 7 turns to get it to turn off.
Yes. And they're just really cheap, the ones that the builder grades.
Right. But. Well, there's a new version of those now that's what they call a ball valve. But essentially, it's just a quarter turn clockwise to turn it off. So it's a lot easier to use.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, and that would have saved a lot of problems in the case where the water continued to leak as she had one of the children run to get the neighbor, and the water continued to flow and run into the kitchen as it spilled into the
returns. This caused, you got that thing queued up?
Do I have what queued up? You mean this? Oh, yeah. And that's about how I felt, Brian.
Good stuff.
I just wanted to scream. Okay, so you need to make sure they work and that the key important people in your household, whoever's in charge, knows how to operate them.
That's right. Do you even train the babysitter on where this stuff is?
I hadn't thought that far, Brian.
Yeah, no.
Come on, you're getting a little too complicated here. Right. Although that's not a bad point. But the babysitter, you know, what, am I going to interview him and say, okay, do you know how to operate toilet valves?
Right. Are you going to give him a tour of the house, show him where all the shutoff valves are?
Right. And, all right, so that's basically it for the second floor, although we'll talk a little bit later about when you have issues with electrical, if you blow a breaker or if you have a fuse. I suppose some people out there still have fuses. Okay, so let's move downstairs. We're on the first level. This is where your kitchen is, at least in many houses, unless you have a ranch and everything's on the first floor. But you have your kitchen, and usually that's where your controls and connections are going to be. In this house. And also, you may have a washroom somewhere. In my case, it is on the first floor. And that also has a valve. Of course, it uses the nice ball valves for the washing machine. And it has a single valve for both the hot and the cold. And the idea is that when you're not using the washer, you turn it off so that if the hose fails, you don't have a mess. Of course, who turns it off every time they're done with the washing machine?
I do. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. I don't know anyone that does. It's a nice idea, but I know they make the automatic kind that turn off automatically when it's not in use. That's not a bad idea.
Well, there's a nice little upgrade you can do to that. Is you can get hoses that are braided stainless steel.
Absolutely.
So they're less likely to burst.
Right.
And there's also some new hoses now that have like special little shutoff mechanisms in them. I don't know exactly how they work yet, but I've seen them for sinks and toilets and stuff like that, so that if it flows for more than a normal period of time, it'll somehow shut the water off for you.
Right, but it seems to me that if you have the rubber hoses, replace them immediately. They're the ones that tend to fail more often.
That's right. And I read somewhere that's the most common insurance claim is from burst hoses on washing machines.
Absolutely.
Causing damage. And especially if you've got a second floor laundry.
Yeah.
Because imagine if you've, you know, just turn on a hose in your bedroom and let it run, you know, for a weekend while you're away, right?
Right. Okay. In the kitchen, you also have, typically you would have a valve under the kitchen sinks, just like the second floor. Are there any other controls and valves we need to think about?
There are. There is one. And this also is going to apply to the bathrooms. And that is, you ever see those rectangular outlets that have a little button on them?
Ah, yes. Good point.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Ground fault interrupt outlets, and these are there to protect you anywhere in areas where there are water to protect you from being electrocuted in case you're operating an appliance that shorts out or something like that. It senses that if you are in contact with water and in contact with something electrical on that circuit, it will shut it off.
That's right. It supposedly shuts it off before you you get a fatal dose of electricity. I've never tested that, but that's what they're supposed to do.
Now, the buttons, though, are not that the feature we just described. They're actually test buttons that come with the GFI.
Right. There's a test button and a reset button on there. So sometimes those will trip for unknown reasons,
right,
and you don't know why.
So something to trigger it, even though maybe the GFI is failing or something has just triggered it, and you all of a sudden don't have power there, you need to know that you can reset those.
Right. And here's, you know, I know that in my house, for example, there's a convenience outlet in the garage, you know, for plugging in a vacuum or something like that, you know, to vacuum your car out. And that is fed off of the GFI in the kitchen.
Right. So they can often use a single, like if you have a GFI outlet, you don't necessarily need to have one at every outlet to have GFI protection. They actually can run it off of that first one. And the first GFI outlet is actually providing GFI protection to other outlets.
That's right.
So other outlets can trigger it.
Exactly. So if you have an outlet that's not working, you may want to look for a GFI that's been tripped.
Right, upstream, so to speak.
That's right.
Okay, so that's a good point. So, and other connections, you might have, I suppose if you have gas, you may or may not, I don't think you'd have control valves for gas hookups in your kitchen. We'll talk about that when we get to the basement,
well,
but you could.
You will. It's going to depend on the vintage of your home.
Sure.
But if you have a gas, you know, like on my first floor, I've got a gas stove.
Right.
Behind the gas stove.
There's a little shut off
there. There's a little shut off there. Not that it's accessible, sure. But it's for maintenance on the stove. You know, if you need to pull it out or you're swapping out your stove, you can turn it off there. And I also have a gas fireplace on the first floor.
Yes. I almost missed that. That's a good one. Your gas fireplace, which in both of our cases, it's operated by a switch on the wall, like a typical electrical switch. However, there is a in my case, it has a pilot.
And so does mine. It's a standing pilot. So it's always burning gas.
Yep.
Very teeny amount, but it's always burning gas.
And the pilot is lit. I have I have a lighter for it, a built-in lighter, but there's also a shutoff under there. You need to learn when you have a gas fireplace where the shutoff is. And you need, in my case, I have to lift out a panel or it opens up, but it's not obvious just from looking at it. It's very well hidden.
Right. I think probably both have the same exact fireplace, you know.
Yeah.
Because mine has the same kind of panel.
And the other thing is I shut mine off during the summer months so that I'm not I'm not using any gas or burning any gas during the summer months. So if you learn where that shutoff valve is. But the problem is then in the fall or the winter when I want to use it again, I need to learn how to light, and there's a special control there to relight it. So
that's right. You got to learn how to relight that pilot light, or you can contact, you know, the installer of the fireplace and they can come out and relight that for you and do a maintenance check on it, make sure everything's working well. If you're not comfortable following that procedure, we're not going to go into that in detail. But anytime you're working around gas, if you're not comfortable with it, bring in a professional.
Absolutely. All right. Up next, we're going to move to the basement where all the interesting controls are, lots of them. We'll talk about that after this.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, we're moving down to the basement. However, on our way down, Brian, in some homes, there's a red, usually red, it should be red, switch in the stairwell on your way home. Sometimes it says emergency on it or something like that.
Yes, I have one of those at the top of my basement steps. It says emergency shutoff.
And it's a mystery switch, right?
Yeah, I've never used it, and I can't think of too many scenarios where I would use it, but its purpose is to shut off the furnace or the boiler in the basement.
I had a boiler in my old house. They had put one of those switches in, and I never needed to use it until one of the kids shut it off. Or actually, I think we moved into the house or something like that. A mover thought it was a light switch.
Okay.
And flipped it off. Thank you very much. There's no hot water the first day I'm in the house. And I figured it out pretty quickly, but it became more of a nuisance than a safety switch in my case.
So. Yeah, right. So that's a good one to know where to turn it back on if someone accidentally turns it off. Now, mine's up high. It's up probably about six foot up off the step, at least.
They try to make it high so you don't accidentally hit it. In my old house, the stairwell wasn't high. So
you had to duck your head down without.
So, but typically, there's also a switch on the furnace itself, and that could also get turned off.
Yeah, if you got some curious little kids running around, they may see that. And that switch is there for maintenance. You know, if you got a guy coming in to service your furnace, they need to turn it off. It's a convenience thing. But if you got someone going in there and flipping switches just for no good reason, you need to know where to turn that back on or you'll be without heat.
So you should be familiar with that switch. That's a little gotcha. Okay, moving down to the basement, one of the most important switches or knobs, in this case it's a knob, it's a valve, is your main water shutoff. You need to know where that is. If something's leaking, you want to get that shut off. Also, I recommend if you leave for vacation, even if it's just a weekend trip, shut off your water. You'll save yourself a lot of hassle. I've known so many people to have their houses flood because of a valve fails on a toilet. One was a family member. I've had people in my neighborhood have it happen even on brand new homes.
I knew a guy
who had move out for months.
Yeah, you know? I knew someone. Maybe this was you. I'm going to share this story. But it was they had a normally if you have a bad flapper on your toilet, that's the part that turns, you know, lets the water escape into the bowl. If that's leaking, if that goes bad, the water is just going to leak down the bowl and down the drain. It's not going to go all over the floor. Or if you have a bad shut off, or I'm sorry, the a bad flush, what they call the flush valve, which is what turns the water on and off to fill up the tank. If that goes bad and continues to run because of a bad washer or something, mm-hmm. there's an overflow tube in the toilet, so the water goes down exactly. the drain as well. What happened in this case was the flapper came disconnected from the bottom of the inside of the tank, floated up, and clogged the nice. Overflow tube.
Wow.
And the water continued to flow.
That wasn't me.
But. Overflowed the tank and all over the floor and everything. I don't remember
who
told me that story. But.
I had a different sort of problem. The overflow tube wasn't quite working fast enough to keep up with the flow of the water, and it was overflowing, but I caught it before it did any damage. So, yeah, you definitely want to be able to shut. I shut off my main water whenever I leave. Believe me, it happens so often. I hear about it at least once a year. I hear about somebody who's had their house flood. I've known 3 people personally outside my family who've had it happen.
I've never shut my main water off when I go away.
There's nothing worse than getting home from vacation, opening the front door, and having water come out, a foot of water come out.
Come on. It's not that bad.
No, believe me, it does spill out of the house, not a foot, but. It spills out because wow. it's all over, and the ceilings have crashed down and everything like that because you've gotten so much water. So
now I actually have 3 main shutoff valves, if you can believe that. I have one where the water from the city comes in through the wall of the foundation wall of the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Then the pipe goes from there over to the water meter, and right before the water meter, there's a shutoff
right.
valve, and then right after the water
okay.
meter, there's a shutoff
so
valve.
What do
so
you
I
do?
Actually have 3.
Does it matter which one you shut off?
It does not matter which one you shut off.
Okay.
Well, you're liking your new toy over
yeah,
there.
Well,
your little
hopefully
sound
we don't
buttons.
Get that noise going when you walk when you're coming home from vacation. But I find that I have a shutoff on both sides of my meter, and one of them is a nice ball valve. And the other is not.
It's the standard screw valve
right.
or whatever you call those.
And I like the ball valve because I'm very confident that it's going to work. Sometimes I turn them both off.
Really?
Just to be sure.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I also drain some of the water out. No, actually, I usually don't do that because there's usually one more person that has to go to the bathroom before you leave. So, okay, so that's enough about water. Let's talk about the other switches and controls you have in your basement.
Okay. Well, you've got electrical. So you want to go there?
You need to know where your electrical panel is.
Sure. You've got, you either have circuit breakers, which are essentially little switches for each different part of your house, or you have fuses, which are these little screw-in things. They look like they screw into a light socket.
That's what I grew up with.
Yeah, so did I. And
actually more reliable than breakers. Not reliable, but they're safer. Because they don't fail like breakers can.
Right.
If they fail, they do what they're supposed to do, and they stop the
flow of the yeah. electricity. Now, take a look at your – if you have fuses, go and take a look at your fuse box. One of the things people used to do years ago is if they had nuisance trips all the time, they would go in there and take out the fuse and stuff a nickel or something
right.
down in there to in
Ice.
Place of the fuse. I've cool. seen that, and that's very, very dangerous.
Yeah, if you're in an older house, the fact is, if you have fuses, it's not the fuses that are dangerous. It's your problem is that your wiring is probably old. Everything else is old about
right.
your electrical system,
exactly.
so that's the problem.
If you're tripping fuses or if you're blowing fuses a lot, the problem is you've got an overloaded circuit.
Right.
It's not the problem, you know, it's not necessarily a problem that you have fuses.
Yeah. I mean, fuses were a nice safety device. But now with breakers, Brian, when we blow a breaker, one of the problems I've had with breakers over the years is, 2 things. One is when you do blow a breaker, it's not always obvious which one it is.
That's right, because the switch on the breaker doesn't go all the way to the off position.
Right.
It kind of goes just a little bit towards
right.
the off.
And if you don't have good lighting around your electrical panel, you kind of have to really it takes a while, especially if you have a big panel and a lot of breakers, it kind of takes a while to identify which one it is.
Right. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll just cycle each one on and off. I'll just go off, on, off, on. I just work my way down. Now then you got to reset your digital clocks and, you know,
right.
stuff like that. But but then you'll certainly hit it that way.
And then the other problem I've seen is when a breaker fails. And this can be, again, I have two sub-reasons for this.
Okay.
But one is that the breaker is just bad, and every time you flip it on, it flips off, and you've got either a defective breaker or one that's gone bad. The other problem could be you have a real problem electrically. You just got too much on the circuit, you have a short somewhere, and in that case, you kind of have to figure out what's going on, because you could have a real problem,
right?
And you may need to call an electrician. It's probably what you ought to do if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I would definitely say if you've got a breaker that won't stay on, you got a problem. You might want to get a pro in there or do all your research you need to do to figure out where the problem might be.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
That's your electrical panel. You need to know where it is, and hopefully you have it labeled well. If it is not labeled, you ought to investigate into getting it labeled, because you want to know, you know, what breaker goes with what things. It'll make your life a lot easier.
Here's a little tip for doing that, because it's usually hard. You know, you got someone, you know, upstairs, you know, in the bedroom. All right, honey, tell me when the lights go out, right? And you're...
Use a radio.
All right, there. Exactly. Use a radio.
And crank
Put a radio, plug it into that outlet, turn it up loud, and then you can hear it when you're down in your basement or your garage or wherever you are.
So if you haven't had your breakers labeled, you can use that. Move the radio down to different areas of the house. See when it turns off, label the breaker for that particular room. You may still have to have some help if you have separate light circuits, but that'll at least get through most of it. Okay, what else in the basement? We have moving over. We talked about the furnace. We have a switch on there you need to know about. There's some other controls on the furnace. For instance, it's not really a control of our valve, but you need to know how to replace the filter. So you need to know something about your furnace.
Right. In my basement, I have a doodad, I don't know what else you'd call it, for monitoring a radon mitigation system.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's... you know, it's not that common in some areas of the country. Other areas of the country, every house has it. And essentially what it is there's certain parts of the country, there's this naturally occurring gas in the rocks underneath the house, and it comes up in there, and it can cause health problems, supposedly. So in my house, I've got a series of pipes underneath the slab of the basement. In the attic, there's a fan. And it pulls air under the slab and blows it out up on the roof so it doesn't come in the living spaces. And in the basement, I have a pipe and a little gauge, I guess you'd call it, that tells me that that's operating correctly. And so every once in a while, you're supposed to just look at that, and it says, yes, the system is properly working.
The handy guys are brilliant.
All right. Thanks for that, Paul.
We have a naturally occurring gas in my house, but it ain't coming from the rocks.
You going to edit that out?
We'll see.
All right.
So you may have a radon system you need to be aware about. Also, with your hot water heater, Brian.
Yes.
If you have a gas water heater, if it's electric, there may not be too much need to know about as far as ongoing operation.
But. Right. You're going to have a thermostat on there, whether it be gas or electric, and that'll be where you set your temperature.
You might want to turn it down, that control, if you're going on vacation. There's often a vacation mode.
Right. And that just puts it at the lowest setting. So just, you know, maintains a minimal amount of warm water versus keeping, you know, hot water, bath water temperature ready to go.
And you also have on it a, if it's gas, there's a pilot light, which is a little, you know, a gas that's lit at all times so that the hot water heater can work unless it has an electronic lighter on it. But typically they have a pilot.
That's right. So the newest, fanciest ones will have that electronic ignition and only light the gas burner when it's called for.
Yeah. And my furnace has the electronic ignition, but not my hot water heater. So if it blows out or stops working, you need to be able to relight that pilot, and you need to find the instructions that come with your hot water heater to find out how to do it. Sometimes they're printed right on the tank, and yep. other times there'll be a manual that's the contractor who installed it left with the hot water heater. You can look at that and see how to relight it. And if you have problems relighting it, you need to call a plumber. It's possible that you have something wrong, maybe a thermocoupler or something like that with your hot water heater, and you may need to get some help.
That's right. But, we covered that in one of our earlier episodes yes. in a little more detail, so you can check that out.
Now, if you have gas, you also have your main gas shutoff somewhere in your house, or sometimes it's outside the house. It's good to know where that is. However, the experts say if you smell gas in your home, the first thing you need to do is to get out of your home and open, you know, and just leave the door open and don't turn any lights on or off. It can cause any sparks or anything like that.
That's right. So you smell gas, evacuate. Call the gas company or the fire company, and they'll come in and they'll turn it off.
Okay, so that's is that all the controls, Brian? Do we have any other controls in our house that we need to know about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Some people have controls. If they have a fireplace, they have a damper, they need to know about that.
That's a good one. Yeah, I mean, how many times have you heard of someone lighting a fire in their fireplace, you know, traditional wood-burning fireplace, and the whole house fills with smoke? So I know I've done that. So if you're, you know, make sure the damper's open if you are going to do that, and make sure you know where it is before you go to light the fire and not after.
There could be a whole other set of controls if your house has, you know, a wood burning stove or something like that, or a pellet stove. And those are all separate appliances you need to find out about. But we tried to cover the basic controls, the knobs, the switches that are in most homes. If you think of something we've missed, please comment on our post. It'll be posted along with this podcast. We'd love to hear from you, and hopefully you can send this podcast to perhaps a loved one, or you know, right. or maybe just use it yourself to review what things you need to go over with, you know, somebody who may not be handy, but who will be in the house when you're not home.
That's right. First-time home buyer, put them onto this, and maybe a nice housewarming gift would be an iPod full of the Handy Guys podcast, right, Paul?
There you go. All right, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at HandyGuysPodcast.com.